Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you really does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for this episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
I'm Randy Curtis. I'm with Nortech Advanced NDT, and I spent a lot of time up in Fort McMurray.
Yeah.
But not in Fort McMurray currently.
Yeah, so we're in Edmonton today.
We are.
So before we start talking about Nortech, let's talk about how you found yourself in the career that you found yourself in. So you initially went to school at the U of A and you took engineering, right?
I did.
And
I,
so, yeah.
I ended up there in a manner which I got a scholarship to go to engineering, into engineering, and I had a scholarship to go into sciences, and I decided I'll take the engineering scholarship because it was for $500 more.
Okay.
And so I ended up taking a degree that cost well over $500 more, probably $6,000 to $10,000 more.
Yeah.
Because of that decision.
That's right. It was a good decision, though. It worked out for you. So I didn't really know
what I wanted to do.
No.
And so that's how I ended up in engineering.
There we go. And so how did you end up in Fort McMurray when you start, especially in the field that you ended up in, like non-destructive testing, visual engineering? Like, how from U of A did you hear about Fort McMurray?
I went into materials engineering, so it's a very small program, you know, mechanical and electrical. We'll have hundreds of people, and I think I graduated with 35 people U of A. And so it was a small group, small community. There were, at that time, testing firms, as there are today, and engineering firms, and I had applied at one particular spot three times, and that was CanSpec. And they had a pretty big corner of the market at that time in Alberta.
Right.
On my third time applying, I got my first interview.
Yeah.
And I was offered a job to go to Fort McMurray for a year.
Yeah.
And I had 24 hours to accept the job, and I did.
Yeah.
And I went to Fort McMurray for a little over a year, but that was the intent, for a year.
Yeah. And then you ended up living there for
Almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years, yeah. It was a long haul. So the funny thing about Randy, and I don't think she'll ever watch her show, so we're going to talk about it anyways, but you ended up purchasing a home in Fort McMurray that you lived in, but then it turned into a rental property. And an ex-girlfriend of mine when I was in high school lived in it. And you found my name in the basement written. And there wasn't nice things written about me in that basement crawl space.
There wasn't. Well, it was somewhat innocent. You know, I think it was looked to be written by somebody about, you know, 12 or 14 years old,
that was
something
the age.
Like that.
Yeah.
I bought that house, and at that point in time, I bought that house in 2004, so it was several years after I'd gone to Fort McMurray, and was renting a home for a room for $500 a month, and I thought that was crazy, and it wasn't crazy, and then I was buying a house. So bought a house. At that point, you really had to buy the house that you could find yourself into. So
that's right.
When I did finally buy the house, the gentleman was in prison.
Yeah.
And my realtor had to go to sign the papers there. So
yeah.
a bit of a story behind that. But I had done some renovation. The whole house had to be torn apart.
Right.
Everything. Because of the state of which it was. So
yeah.
When I moved in there, the RCMP had to come and help extradite some squatters. And so it was not in a great state. But one thing that did survive was your name on the wall.
Yeah.
And, you know, come to years down the path, you know, several years later, 5 or 6 years later, we met each other. And
that's right.
Found that out. So
it's one of the funniest moments that we ever had. It was at a Christmas party that we were sitting down, and you're like, do you ever date a girl by the name of blank? And it's like, yeah. And then you told me about it. And oh, my Lord. Yeah. So be careful how you behave when you're dating somebody. Even at a young age, you might end up on a wall somewhere and somebody will read about
it. Permanent record.
Yeah, that's right. So now when it comes to Nortec, this is a company that's based here. Like, we're in Edmonton today.
Correct.
But what is the reach of the organization?
Well, I mean, we really operate throughout Western Canada. You know, we have operations in, you know, physical operations in Edmonton, Grand Prairie, Fort St. John.
Yeah.
We also have some technicians that work on a day in, day out basis up in Fort McMurray.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're looking to expand our business and our footprint and a number of services that we do. But, for the most part, it's a pretty good organization with a great culture and really long-standing employees throughout the business. So
yeah.
I've been here less than a year, and you know, it's fun to come to an organization where there's many people that have been here longer than 20 years.
That's right. The one thing myself and Kyle talked about, and I want to touch on this as well, is your back shop area. It's pretty nuts how you guys have so many pieces of equipment come through, and you have people in the building who can service and potentially for trainees look at what they're doing. Like, that's extremely unique to the industry.
It is. It is unique. It is. You know, we're very efficient at what we kind of drive through there.
Yeah.
You know, it comes from years of doing that and years of understanding which parts to expect, working with our customers, understanding what's going to be coming through.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can certainly turn a lot more inspections through there on a per hour basis than others are able to.
Yeah, it's really cool. Well, listen, before we keep going, I got to throw to an ad. Carrie from Patchouli Rose, take it away.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen, but sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And then others are able to.
Yeah, it's really cool. Well, listen, before we keep going, I got to throw to an ad. Carrie from Patchouli Rose, take it away. And we're back. Okay, you have a passion that I think is going to be very popular on this show. You like wine.
I do.
And when I say Randy likes wine and he's like has a passion for it, I one time just showed Randy a bottle of wine, and he was able to tell me roughly how much it cost, where in the world like they grew the grapes, and just like, you are, when it comes to wine, you're invested in this hobby. So my question to you is, what is the best wine you think you've ever had? Because I know you have like a hall of fame of the corks, like I know you're in it, so like, what's the best?
Yeah, I mean, at one point I did have a sort of a ranking, it's somewhat come it hasn't been well maintained, so
yeah.
I no longer have that, but certainly some of the Australian reds that I've had are some of the best. So
yeah.
The Velvet Glove some of the stuff that Molly Duker puts out, those are all very good.
And so why do you think, because I know nothing about wine, like I don't even like wine, to be honest with you. And then one time you're just like, I have a bottle for it. And you poured me one and I was like, man, this is delicious. And then you told me how much it was. I'm like, I'm never sipping this again. But what do you think about that wine? Like what gives them like the leg up in regards to what, like your taste palate?
Well, I think great wine suffers. So the grapes suffer. They don't grow very much. They, you know, if they don't get a lot of water, the plant is forced to put all of its nutrients into fewer, you know, berries or grapes.
Yeah.
So those fewer berries are more they have more nutrient, you know, nutrients. They have more sugars. They're not filled with water.
Yeah.
So when you go press those grapes, you have a lot more concentrated flavors that you're starting with. And wines that start like that and have lower yields are the better wines in the industry. And
so, right.
To do that, you're obviously dealing with fewer grapes and lower production, and so the cost will go up.
That's right.
But, you know, it's certainly, like anything, cost is not necessarily relative to quality. So there's a lot of marketing and other things that can happen within these things, but certainly I guess that's some of how the wine world works.
Yeah.
The better wines are the ones that typically more people pay attention to in terms of how they're growing the grapes.
Right.
And then because it, you know, the fruit is more scarce, they treat it better in the winemaking process as well.
Okay. Now, for the people at home, what would be like a good entry-level wine for them to start off with, if this is something that they're wanting to get into, maybe from a taste standpoint, but also like you collect because they have, like it's an investment, some of the pieces that you have. So what would be the two wines? One to start if you're getting into taste, and one like, you know what, this potentially could be an investment.
Well, certainly, you know, investment is, you know, probably 1% or less of the wine is meant to really age and really be an investment. But, you know, Bordeaux is, you know, if you can afford it, which I can't, is where to be. But certain Barolos and other regions in Italy do great wines that way. For a good wine for people to taste, you know, that's, you know, easily available. You know, it's like asking, you know, what's the best food in wherever you might be, Fort McMurray, and, and there's so many variations. But if you go with regions, certainly if you you know, look for value for your money, look in places like Argentina, Chile, you'll find a much better quality wine for the same price that you may buy it from California or Canada.
Right. Fascinating. I knew that was a question to ask you. All right, we're wrapping up on time, but before we go, let's just talk about Nortec for a little bit. Like, what are you trying to achieve at the organization? What do you think are the areas for growth that you guys would really like to kind of to focus on in the next little while?
Well, you know, it's we have a lot of long-term stable employees here, and you know, our work scopes are increasing, and so we're looking to have people come join us, and you know, join the family, so to speak, but you know, long-term employee base and you know, there are short-term projects that we do have. I mean, that is like any business, but we're looking to add people, and we're looking to add people that want to grow in the industry. You know, add certifications or just start in the business.
Yeah.
So you know, we've had a great history of securing people that didn't know what NDT was, because it is somewhat obscure.
That's right.
And growing in the business and becoming more successful and gaining more certifications, and with that gains, you know, more ability to work on projects and interesting tasks. So
there you go. Awesome. Well, Randy, before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun. It could be anything. Yeah. Like Kyle was just like, what do you mean? I'm just like, literally shout out anything. It could be a car, it could be your mom, it could be anything.
Well, shout out to my two children, Jalen and McCoy. I have a great time with you, and hopefully you watch this and are enthused by it.
There we go. Awesome. Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Appreciate both of your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.